It's nice to be with you again. I'd like to read in John's Gospel, please, chapter 1 and verse 1. I was trying to get a message ready in Colossians, but I ran out of time. So having children and studying the Bible is difficult at times. But I'd like just to look at the first five verses of John's Gospel and a little introduction as well. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Very well-known verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended or understood it not. We trust God will add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Luther could write about John's Gospel. Never in my life have I read a book written in simpler words than this, and yet the words are inexpressible. And I think he's really referring to this little passage that we've read this evening. Someone has also said if John's Gospel were the only book in the New Testament, it would still afford enough meat and milk of the Word for a lifetime of study and meditation. And that is absolutely true. One of the best writers of the last century, I think, was A.W. Pink, a tremendous, prolific writer and commenter on the Word of God. And he spent 15 years at one of the seminaries that he taught at, teaching John's Gospel. 15 years teaching John's Gospel. And for many people, I don't know if it's right or not to have a favourite book in the Bible, but a lot of people would say that John's Gospel is their favourite book. For a lot of us, it was the first book that drew us to the person of the Lord Jesus. Of course, John chapter 3 and verse 16 is that well-known verse in the Bible. And it challenged us and brought us face to face with the Lord Jesus and His glory and His love. So for a lot of people, it's their favourite book. But you know, it's also a book that appeals to mature believers as well, because it contains some of the deepest truths that we have in the Word of God. I've got a friend who is a real student of the Scriptures. He's retired now from work, and he says the more you read John's Gospel, the more deeper it becomes. And you know, that is true. On the surface, it's simple, but there's a lot of tremendously deep truths in this wonderful Gospel. For example, you have John chapter 17, and that is the real Lord's Prayer. It isn't Matthew 6 that's the Lord's Prayer, it's John chapter 17. And in that chapter, you have an incredible insight into deity addressing deity. J.C. Ryle, and he also wrote a lovely commentary on the Gospel of John. It's one of the best you could read. He could say of John chapter 17, this chapter is the most remarkable in the Bible. It stands alone and there is nothing like it. And it really is a remarkable chapter in a remarkable book, because John's Gospel is, it's a remarkable Gospel. And if any of you young people are thinking of studying a book, why don't you just get down and start reading John's Gospel? I find that's the best way to read the Word of God, is just to study it book by book. The main theme, the dominant theme that you have in John's Gospel is the deity of Christ. And it is something that saturates the entire Gospel from start to finish. If you look at all of the Gospels, they all have their dominant theme. Matthew's Gospel, that deals with the kingship of the Lord Jesus. That's why you have the genealogy that proves that the Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, goes all the way back to David, King David. And that deals really with the kingship. It proves that He is the rightful king to the throne of Israel. Mark's Gospel, that deals with the servitude of the Lord Jesus, the perfect servant of God. Luke's Gospel deals with the humanity of the Lord Jesus. He was absolutely human. That's why the genealogy there goes all the way back to Adam, to prove that Jesus of Nazareth was a man in the fullest sense of the word. But John's Gospel has really taken up with the deity, proving that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. But they're not all watertight containers. You know, Matthew just doesn't deal with the kingship. Mark just doesn't deal with the servitude. Luke just doesn't deal with the humanity. And John doesn't just deal with the deity. You find a wee bit of each truth in all of the Gospels. It's a wee bit like if you imagine four aquariums with connecting pipes. In Matthew, you've got the water, and that's full of, if you like, the kingship of the Lord Jesus and so on. But you know, the water and the truth, if you like, can flow from one aquarium to each. And you find, you know, a bit of each truth in every single gospel. For example, in John's Gospel, chapter 18, you'll find about the Lord Jesus being the king, something that Matthew dominates on. In John's Gospel, chapter 13, you'll see the Lord Jesus being a servant, the time when he takes the towel and washes the disciples' feet. John chapter 4, verse 6, you'll see the Lord Jesus as a man. He's tired, he's thirsty, he has to eat, he's thirsty upon the cross, things that we all experience. But, you know, the main dominant theme, if you like, 90% of the water in the aquarium in John's Gospel is taken up with the deity of the Lord Jesus. One of the most wonderful experiences for the disciples was when the Lord Jesus took Peter, James and John to the top of the mountain, probably Mount Hermon, and